نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent with a mission to lead mankind from the darknesses of kufr, disbelief, into the light of iman and obedience. He came to this world and he inspected very carefully, he scrutinized the situation, that what are the factors that must lead people, what comes to obstruct people from the right, what distracts them, and how are they led to destruction. So we discovered that there were several reasons that came So the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had discovered that there were several reasons for the destruction and for the distraction of mankind. One of them was wealth, an obsession with wealth. When a person is obsessed with wealth, then he cannot distinguish between haram and halal. He will look for any way to make his thing halal and kosher. Anyway, whichever way he can squeeze a halal fatwa, he will try and squeeze a fatwa for halal. So this was one of the main reasons, and one was the main distraction that distracts man from the path, that is an obsession with wealth. However, wealth and the like and the love for wealth is natural. We cannot rule this of that we aren't attracted to wealth. All of us, there is no exception, we are attracted to the comforts of the world. We see beauty, we are attracted. We see smart cars, we are attracted. We see good flourishing businesses, we are attracted. We see thriving industries, we are attracted. So all these things do attract us. Man cannot say that he is not attracted to these things. The Quran Sharif says it very clearly, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ. That heaps of gold, animals and horses that were the vehicles of the time marked for their perfection and good performance. These are all things that are luring to man. Man is attracted, naturally attracted to these things. But Umar radiallahu ta'anhu, when Persia was conquered and the wealth began to pour into Medina Munawwara, then he also exclaimed, O Allah, we cannot ask you to eliminate and erase the love of these things from our hearts and our minds, because this is natural, this is how we are created. Naturally, we are born with that temptation. We see beauty, we are attracted. We see wealth, we are attracted. So the broad plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not to eliminate this. And how can man eliminate this? What you are born with, you cannot eliminate. You are born with a love for water, so you will feel thirsty, you will drink water. For good food, so you will feel hungry and you will eat. Now if someone asks Allah ta'ala that eliminate this from my system, that I don't feel hungry at all, and I don't feel thirsty at all, then he's working against the plan of Allah Ta'ala. This is the system of Allah Ta'ala, that you will eat, you will drink, you will feel cold, you will need clothing, etc. So this is the plan of Allah Ta'ala, and to ask anything against it is asking against the real plan of Allah Ta'ala. So Umar radiallahu anhu says to Allah Ta'ala that, "Oh Allah, we do not ask you to eliminate this and erase this from our system. But what we do ask you, O Allah, is this, that make this a vehicle for us to reach Jannat." Same wealth. Make it a vehicle, make it a means for us to reach Jannat, to reach your pleasure. Where the wealth was being used indiscriminately without distinguishing between halal and haram, now he's earning that wealth, he likes that wealth, but the love of Allah Ta'ala is given precedence to the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala over the love of the wealth. Now he will think this is halal or haram. Halal, I will earn it, and haram, no matter what type of promises are made out to me, I'm going to discard it. Now this obsession for wealth, this is the difficult one. When a person is obsessed with wealth, he doesn't worry what he says, what he talks about. He will make promises and he will not keep up to the promises that he makes. Then the whole world turns around him, against him, that he makes promises but he does not fulfill the promises and the pledges that he makes. The Quran Sharif says, "Inna alladhina yashtaruna bi ahdi Allahi wa aymanihim thamalan qalila ulaika la khalaqa lahum fil akhirah." One who sell away their oaths and their promises for a small price. For a small price they can use the name of Allah. No. "By Allah, I will pay you tomorrow. By Allah, I never said this." So the name of Allah is being floated around so easily that just to secure a million or two, we can use the name of Allah so easily. So Allah warns, "La khalaqa lahum fil akhirah." You will have no share of the comforts of the hereafter. Similarly, when a person is obsessed with the love of wealth, then he is not concerned about his rightful share in an inheritance. "Inna alladhina ya'kuluna amwal yatama zulman, innama ya'kuluna fi butunihim nara." That you are eating the wealth of the orphans unjustly, really you are filling your stomach with fire. You cannot see this fire now, but that potential for that stomach of yours to turn into an inferno is there. Just now, you give it the right environment and you see how the same thing that you have loaded into your stomach will turn into an inferno. The hadith says that you wrongfully possess the land of the next person, just one hand span of land. You have wrongfully possessed that person's land. And that will be a yoke. It will make that entire land will be made into a yoke flung onto your neck on the day of Qiyamah. So these warnings we listen to quite regularly, and it isn't something that we aren't acquainted with. We are acquainted with this. We know the warnings that Rasulullah had sounded. But then this obsession of wealth, it's natural within us. What is the solution for it? How do we come out of this? We are already gripped in this. Now how do we come out of this? So Rasulullah was sent for this. He was sent for this, that look for the solution for mankind, that how he can be led towards me. How can he come towards me? And how this world and its temptations do not distract him, do not obstruct him, do not move him away from the cause. So Rasulullah had given several teachings. Amongst the teachings that he had passed on to us, one was sadaqah. "Ma naqasat sadaqatum min malin." That give out sadaqah, spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he further makes a promise to you that your wealth will not be decreased on account of sadaqah. Where you think that you will spend in his path and this will result in your wealth being decreased, and this is the folly of your mind. No, the wealth will be preserved. The protection, divine protection will settle onto your wealth. So one solution Rasulullah had given us was to give out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. The reason is obvious, it's logical, that when your wealth has been passed on to the account of the hereafter, on the account of the akhirat, then you will be looking forward towards that journey, because your money is being transferred to that account, to the account of the hereafter. Now you are looking forward to that journey. You are looking forward to that place where your money is being deposited. And you know you're going to live there perpetually. There is no reverse. We haven't heard of anybody that went into the realm and came back. No, you're going one way. There is no reverse. So this was the one solution that give out. And the more you will give out, the more you will yearn to be with your wealth. And your wealth is being deposited there, so you'll want to be there. So this is the one prescription that Rasulullah had given us. The other prescription Rasulullah has taught us through hadith is the contentment. Many times we find a kitab, Contentment of the Heart. Contentment of the Heart. It's good to recite these duas and good to recite those surahs. But to learn the lesson of contentment is an effort on its own. That we need to learn the lesson of contentment. Therefore the hadith teaches us a dua. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani. O Allah, grant me contentment with what you have provided for me. Otherwise, the needs of man are such that there is no ceiling, there is no limit. One need has been fulfilled and you are craving for the other. You have just secured one property and you are looking forward to the next property and so forth and so on. It goes on. There is no end to it. One person had come to take employment in a madrasa. So he told the administrators of the madrasa that I don't need a salary. Just look after my expenses. Mere kharche ka zara khyal rakhna. I don't need to have a salary. The end of the month came and he presents them a list of his needs. He says, I've got 5 children all attending the Islamic school, then I need 8,000 rand for that. And I've got another 5 installments, another 15,000 rand for that. And my rental, another 10,000 rands, 25,000 rands. And then my food and what have you, there's another 5,000 rand, 30,000, 35,000 rand. So the madrasa told him at the end of the month, we will settle on the salary. Forget the expenses. Expenses, there is no limit. It will go on. Sky is a limit. Not even sky is a limit. You got a skyscraper, you want something above that. So there is no limit to this. So the solution is to learn the lesson of contentment. Once we have learned that lesson of contentment, then we'll understand how to budget ourselves. Remember, brothers, it's a golden lesson that this world has been designed, Allah Ta'ala has designed this world for the fulfillment of needs. It has never been designed for the fulfillment of pleasures and luxury. That is the akhirat. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. In the akhirat you will get all what your heart desires. What you couldn't even imagine, beyond imagination. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنْ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That you can't even imagine the type of luxuries and comforts Allah Ta'ala has got in store for you. It's beyond our imagination. So the fulfillment of desires that has been planned for the hereafter. This world here has been planned and designed for the fulfillment of needs. And if you just change the plan of Allah Ta'ala, you will be in trouble. You've got 50 varieties of food and you want to eat according to your eyes' satisfaction, you're looking for trouble. They'll say you'll get heart problems, you'll get sugar, you'll get pressure, you'll have 101 different types of problems. It's not meant for pleasure, it is a means for your needs, fulfillment of your needs. Now, the person cannot distinguish between comfort and need. He's got a problem in his own home. His eyes are floating around 1-2 years of marriage. Now, his eyes are floating around other women. The wife discovers about it, there's a fight in the house. The children learn about it. The loyalty and respect that they're supposed to be showing to the father is lost. Why? That he's not distinguished. He hasn't distinguished between need and comfort. Need and luxury. The place for luxury is the akhirat. This is the place for need. If you do it within need, there is no problem. You got no fight with others. And nor do other people have fights against you. Why? Because you understood the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You've got one property, you want the second, and the third. And all this then turns out to be stress. The doctors will tell you that the most important thing nowadays is stress management. But now why do you take the stress upon yourself that you have to manage it thereafter? If you are content, then you don't need the stress management. But you're not content, and now you need to learn how to manage yourself under stress. So the plan of Allah Ta'ala is quite simple. One person had come to a wise man and he asked him, you know what, I need to go for Hajj and people are frightening me off. They're frightening me off and they're telling me that you won't be able to do the Hajj. Hajj is a wealthy man's job. You need 50,000 rands, 60,000 rands, then only you can go for Hajj. So the wise man told him, it is what you make of it. It is left to you, what you make of it. So now I've only got 30,000 rands, 25 or 30,000 rands. So what you make of it? So man said, no, I understood it very well. That advice, Jazakallah for the advice, I've understood it very well. Let me apply it. That it's what I make of it myself. He went with that limited finance, and by the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, he did two hajjs and came. But how was it possible? It was possible because he knew it is what he makes of it. You live a life of contentment, and that little Allah puts a lot. Contentment doesn't mean, obviously, that I aspire for the next person's wealth. That's ishraf, that's also impermissible, incorrect. That I'm aspiring, I'm greedy, I'm aspiring for your wealth, that you transfer your wealth to me. Man is on his deathbed, and I'm making khidmat. Why I'm making khidmat? Okay, just now the man is going to die. He'll appreciate the khidmat and he'll pass everything to me. That's not right. The maqsad and the niyat for doing the khidmat is not right. The man can understand it himself. So that niyat is not right. You're aspiring for that person's wealth. And really, it is hard-heartedness. The man is dying now. He needs your assistance. He can hardly move. And here you want to offer the khidmat, you want to offer the service, but the service with a reward much more than the khidmat that you have offered. Is this right? Is this Islam? It's not Islam. So Rasulullah's teaching, one is sadaqah, and the other teaching is contentment. If only we could learn this lesson of contentment. You know, I was just speaking to the brothers, asked them, let's say, for example, all of us, we all resolve, firmly resolve, that we'll only live strictly within our means. We will just live within our means. On 1,000 rands a week, just within my means, not beyond that. I will never go 1 cent above that. I ask you today in this masjid, will these banks survive? Will the banks ever survive? Really, they are living off our greed. It's crudely put, but they are living off our greed. They will show you that carrot and you go for it. Again, they show you something better, bigger, huger, and then you go for it again. But if we resolve, you know, the Islamic teaching, okay, the hadith says it very clearly, that the debt comes as a result of our greed. And we want this. I saw that smart car, I want that. I saw that building, I want this. I saw that investment in Dubai, I want it. And it crashes, not me, other person must get involved. I don't want to get involved. But I want the cash to come on my side. So if you only learn that this contentment, this lesson that Rasulullah has passed on to us, then I don't think there's any need to cry, any need to grumble, any need to complain. Why we are complaining is because we haven't learned that lesson of contentment. Some 2 weeks ago, I was in the masjid, and one person comes and tells me, you know, there was a prime site here in Queen Street. If this old man had only bought it, then it would be a solution for the problems of all his children, perhaps for another 100 years. Because it was a prime site, it was going for a song, £1,000 some odd it was going for, and he could have just developed it. And then the revenue present is 1.5 million per month. It could carry on for his generations, could carry on. The only thing that he should have done, just pay 1% of interest. You would have just paid 1% interest. Now this man is coming and suggesting this to me in the masjid. You would have just paid 1% interest, and this could be a solution for his generations to come. May Toba Allah would have forgiven. So I told him, bhai, if that man had only taken that offer. He could only take in that bargain. Then today, the place where he is in now, inside the Qabr, inside the earth, he will be in trouble there. And his children that are above the earth, they would be in trouble. Both ways he'll be catching it. Whether under the earth, he'll be in problems. And those children that are using that wealth that was generated in this way, then they will be in problems as well. Fight above and problems above, problems underneath. Really, we need to understand for once and for all that it is not our mind, our acumen, our understanding. It is the law of Allah Ta'ala that must rule us. It is the law of Allah Ta'ala that must rule over us. It is not for us, it's not our place to despise the poor or to be jealous over the wealthy. To be jealous over the wealthy is not our place. And nor is it our place to be despising the poor. It is the plan of Allah Ta'ala. نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَتَهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. We have made a distribution. Someone, we have put him into the economy class and someone into the business class. You want a comfortable journey, be comfortable on your seat. It is the driver, it is the pilot that assigned the seat to you. Allah Ta'ala has assigned a seat. You remain in the economy class. You remain in the business class. I am the driver. I will tell you what's appropriate for which person. But you don't despise the poor and you don't be jealous over the wealthy. What a beautiful place it will be for us to live in. But the moment we are jealous, we are greedy, or we are despising that poor, then there is problems. Definitely there will be an imbalance. You know, this is a time of woods. Time that we are living in, time of woods. Nobody remains silent. You tell him something, he'll tell you too. The poor and the wealthy were having it out until they reached the Qabristan. When they came to the Qabristan, so the wealthy is despising the poor, is running him down, says, see your father's grave. You can't, there's no sign and symptom of your father's grave. All wiped out, everything clear, nothing. You don't see anything of your father's grave. And see my father's grave, who the wealthy is saying. See my father's grave, says, such a beautiful marble stone, tombstone, and state, you know, state of the art. See this job here and see your father's grave. No sign and symptom. So I say it's a time of woods. Nobody remains silent. So the poor, wo to kahan khamosh rehne wala tha? Where would he remain silent? He says, you know, bhai, you missed the point, man. You know, on the day of Qiyamah, Israfil alayhi salam will blow the sur, will blow the trumpet. When he blows the trumpet, وَإِذَا الْقُبُورُ بُعْثِرَتْ, all that is in the grave will be upturned, everybody will be coming up. My father, the poor is saying, my father will just remove the dust, he will just sprinkle the dust away. He'll be also already by Allah Ta'ala in Jannat. Your father will still be battling with the tombstones. So nobody remains silent. I don't say we look down upon the poor, but by the same token, we don't be jealous about the wealthy. It is a distribution of Allah Ta'ala. However he wanted to distribute, he distributed it. It is his wise plan. Our work is Ridha bil Qada. Allahumma inni as'aluka ar-ridha ba'd al-qada. Allah Ta'ala, when you made a decision, let me be happy with your decision. Let me not question your authority. Oh Allah Ta'ala, why is my lot poverty? Why am I always in trouble? Why am I always in problems, in constraints? It's not my work. Yes, my work is to do sadaqah according to my means and to remain content. That's my work. I remain content. I don't beg. I don't borrow. I'm not greedy. I'm not aspiring for the next person's wealth. That's my work. What Rasulullah has asked us, he's the pilot on the journey. He's given us, he's told us that you remain with these two principles. You won't go off. You do your charity according to your means, sadaqah according to your means. And you be content, you be happy. You will see the steward or the stewardess, they will be looking at you favorably. Everybody will be, the journey will be comfortable. Otherwise you're going to rock the boat. And you will definitely make the journey uncomfortable for yourself. But because of the imbalance within you, you may perhaps make it uncomfortable for the rest of the passengers as well. Why? Because there is an imbalance. So if you can only learn this lesson of contentment, this lesson of sadaqah, and within our means. It is proven through history. It is a proven fact through history But the person that is strictly on halal, haram, Allah Ta'ala grants him a life of enjoyment, inner satisfaction, happiness. I'm not aspiring for that wealth. If it is, he is the rightful heir, I'm not going to encroach on his rights. And there are different ways, sophisticated ways nowadays, how to throttle the person, how to choke the person. It's your sister now, and you don't want to pass on to her her right. There are easy, sophisticated ways of doing it. To take an oath is an easy thing. We see the figure, but we cannot see the consequences of the false oath and the qasam. We can go right in before the Kaaba Sharif and take a false oath just to secure some type of wealth. Is this Islam? It's not Islam. Sometimes it makes us think that because we are surrounded by a foreign and alien culture, we are 3-4% Muslims in this country, 95% kuffar. So because we are surrounded with an alien culture, we get absorbed into their value system, into their ways. We've got a culture of our own, got a value system of our own. I'll just relate one incident and end this talk today. That when we value and appreciate our culture, our ways, the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we're always going to be respected and honored. But the moment we shift away, no matter what wealth and influence and power we have, we'll always be despised. That izzat azzanallahu bil Islam. Allah Ta'ala will grant us izzat through Islam. Khaja Madzub Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was a very well-educated person. I don't think in this gathering there is any person that was so well-educated. In India, in the 30s, he was about the highest position. In the university, the highest position he had. There was some conference held by the English. The time of the English, it was a conference and he was called up. Amongst all the other important dignitaries, etc., many people that were of his class, mostly Muslims, but now to impress upon the Governor General, they wore suit and ties, no topis, trousers below the pants, etc., just to impress the Governor General. Now all had taken their seat, Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah had come after some delay. But the Governor General, when he saw Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he got up from his seat and he went to the entrance and received him personally, granted him all the hospitality, all the respect. So obviously, the other members and other participants felt jealous and envious about this, that we are equal in rank like Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, but why do you show him the respect and you don't show us that type of respect? You showed him the respect and you didn't show us that type of respect. Why? What was the reason for that? So this English Governor General, a kafir, a Christian, he is teaching us. He is teaching a lesson, jo hamare ghar ki baat hai, something that is supposed to be within our homes, that kafir is teaching us. What he says, that you people, in spite of you being Muslims, you have imitated us, you have enslaved yourself to us. So you are our slaves, so we will treat you like slaves. We will despise you. And this man here, from his face you can make out, from his appearance you can make out, from his clothing you can make out, that he has enslaved himself to the Creator, to our Creator, to the Creator of all. So all of us would be enslaved to him. When he has enslaved himself to his enslaving, he has enslaved himself to the Creator of all, the Master of all, the Creator of all. So definitely all of us will be enslaved to him. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعِزَّةَ فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا. You are asking for reputation, recognition. Remember, recognition, reputation, respect is with Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.